Welcome in, everybody. It is Inside the Gamecock, the show. We are live from the mountains to the sea in the great state of South Carolina, coast to coast, nationwide, and worldwide via the Cheap Sports Network app. Free download, of course, on Google Play and the Apple App Store. I am Phil Mad Dog Mullinax, cutting through the orange fog of the upstate of South Carolina. And we have a special guest today, JC, who is my trusty co-host, of course, Mike Morgan. The Golden Tones is joining us after the noon hour. I have no idea what this is going to cost us, but whatever the cost, it'll be worth it. Penny. Welcome in, Mike.
Scotch-free, as it turns
that's
out.
Right. Well, I was going to say scotch. That's also
scotch tape. Scotch. Any of that. A shot of scotch. That would be clownish, but a lot of fun.
That's right.
We did that. If you did the whole 4-hour block and just did a shot of scotch every hour, boom. You guys ever been to Scotland?
I want to go. I've always wanted to go.
Yeah, I would love to go, but no.
So, years ago, one of my good friends who I met in Columbia, him and his wife moved to London. They're now in Atlanta, but they were in London, so I had a free place to stay in London. So, 2 straight years, I went to London, and then we would go somewhere else. But I spent a week in London, and then we took a train to Edinburgh. Edinburgh, Scotland is badass. I had no idea what to expect. I was almost like, I don't know. I wouldn't mind spending some extra time in London, maybe going to Italy. But Edinburgh is really cool. And one of the best things I did there was a scotch and chocolate tasting at some local bar. So you had a swig of scotch, and then you had a piece of random chocolate that they had over there.
Oh,
damn, that was good. And I wish I remembered the name of the scotch. I used to have it in the house all the time.
Glenlivet?
I'll come up with it. I'll find it. It's rare. It's you don't get it at just any bottle shop.
Last time I had any kind of scotch was the day I met my wife at my friend's wedding, and it was a very small shot of scotch. Because 21st birthday, I got a bottle. Woke up the next morning. I'd gone to a concert, a local band, and had the t-shirt of the band on. Had a CD in my hand.
Not that guy.
A box of Domino's pizza on my chest. I was passed out on the floor. And a note that said, "Hey, man, you tried to open the door to the car last night. On our way home, just want to make sure you're okay." And I'm like, never again, sir.
For those that don't know, I've seen JC in what I call Frank the Tank mode. And everything he's describing is very believable.
Well, with it.
Yes. He has a Frank the Tank setting. I think marriage has calmed you down a bit. I don't think we have as many episodes now.
Just getting older, man.
Yeah, that's we right. All slow down. And then you got responsibility and you got, that kind of keeps you in check. But every now and then, it's still waiting. It's just one switch, and Frank the Tank makes an appearance.
I'm going to go to Bed Bath & Beyond. Don't know of the time.
Got to go streaking, you and the guy with the green hat.
The funniest part of that streaking line was when he goes, "You think KFC's open?" I'm like, "KFC's open? I can't imagine being naked in a van and going through the drive-thru at KFC and then eating it." My question would be original or extra crispy on that.
But, yeah, that's a fair question.
Anyway, this is Inside the Gamecocks, the show. Yeah, lots of talk about that drill yesterday. I've said my piece on it. I think it's just absolutely
insane. Let me ask you a question on that.
Yeah,
you say lots of talk because there's so many trolls out there on social media.
It went viral.
Like viral. Like viral. People are talking about.
Not really national people. I mean, people that have an audience we're talking, getting involved in the conversation. I mean, Kirk Herbstreit didn't address it or anything, but, but then you have these, what are called aggregators, and they sit there and they take the 3 tweets from the people with the credibility that I just, talked about. And they put up a post. They have 200,000 followers on Instagram.
So I never heard of any of these guys.
And they go, Coach Clement's getting lit up, you know, and then that's all you read. You don't read any balance. You didn't read that Cole Kublik defended him. You didn't read that LaCharles Bentley defended him, and a lot of other people with credibility. And the most people defended him. And so people see that out in the open. You know, not every Gamecock fan that cares listens or lives it on a daily basis, listens to us, reads the websites, reads the news, whatever, gets on social media. But they see it on Instagram and they're, oh, our O-line coach, God, it's not looking good. You know, the water cooler talk.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not, I guess, exclusive to the University of South Carolina. No. It was just like shocking, though. And you look at who these people are, and I'm like, okay, even if you don't like the drill, great. There's millions of different ways to do it. Who cares? I don't care. John Strickland said it's an old school drill. I frankly think not only at South Carolina, but just about everywhere else, offensive line plays jump the shark, and they need to get back to being old school and just kicking people's ass just like it was meant to be played. There's all these ballerina steps and kicks, and I mean, it's stupid. You know, people, and then they wonder out loud, why does offensive line play stink? Because you've made it too complicated. And that's everywhere. That's everywhere. You know, and then the NFL people chiming in, really, you know, these people that do these draft things, there's about a handful of them that are worth salt. The rest of them are just, you know, hot take artists. And the one that already doesn't like Kendall Briles, because apparently there's some quarterback, I guess, because RG3 didn't work out, right? The Briles offense isn't good for this. Well, guess what? Lenore Sellers has had plenty of experience in an NFL offense for the last 2 years. He needs production. Look at the top quarterbacks in the NFL, if you don't mind. You know, how many of them came out of a pro-style offense?
Hmm.
You know, did Bo Nix have a pro-style offense at Oregon? No. Drake May, he played for Chip Lindsey. That's a Malzahn guy. Josh Allen ran the triple option. Patrick Mahomes was in the air raid. I mean, where's the correlation to all this? There isn't one. So I just wish people would shut up, but it's just insane.
It seems like my untrained eye was actually able to at least glean some of what it was that it looked like they were doing, right? And Strick kind of confirmed that for me. I was like, well, this kind of makes sense, right? I like the fact that Clements clapped back and put up the picture. He had a video of the drill itself and then put up a play where that specific technique was being used and executed to open up a hole for a running back. Or, well, I think it was technically the quarterback in that, on a keeper. But
yeah,
it was here's why we do this, dumb.
I hadn't seen anything in Carolina in the run game that looked like that either. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, I'm like, look at that. A hole just like magically appeared.
The lineman goes here, and it's really beautiful. Mm-hmm. ITG, McKellar Enterprises chat box, Drew from Charleston. Okay, Drew. You did a drive-by here. He goes, man, it's day two of spring practice, and you're already just pooping all over the team. Put a diaper on and calm yourself. Was there someone we didn't see in the chat box? Somebody mentioned it was a Twitter guy or something. I haven't seen anything.
I don't know. Maybe somebody.
I don't think we've been crapping on the team. Did Brad Crawford crap all over the team in the first hour?
No.
It wouldn't surprise me. He doesn't understand the personnel. But
no.
You know,
he did not crap all over the team.
Okay, good.
Not at all.
Well, you know,
he did talk about Nick Harbor, and during that whole thing, all I could think about was you.
I love Brad.
I know.
to death. He's a friend of mine, but my God, sometimes it's just like, dude, look beyond the star-rated guys on every roster. You should probably do that. All right, Mike.
I'm just gonna keep letting you go.
Yeah.
Who else is?
So Drew finally responds. He said, "No, not you. Sorry. Okay. Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to. Carry on. Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
No. I'm letting you get it out there.
Mm-hmm. It was just a crazy day on X yesterday. It was just nuts.
Well, and you know what it is too. We have no games going on.
Yeah.
No. So people are looking for football content. We're here in the first week of March, and some people will latch on to anything just to put it out there. I mean, I feel bad for some of these guys that, like, you know, the Josh Pates of the world, for example. Like, you've got to come up with something to do a 3-minute 5-minute YouTube clip on just to kind of keep going. Well, there's not a ton that's actually going on that's massive. Now, pretty soon we're going to have more and more camp reports, and that'll give the local people something to chew on. Obviously, people like yourself, JC, kind of getting the micro coverage in on South Carolina. But there's a big meeting tomorrow, you know, with Trump and that cabinet trying to.
I was asking about that today.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what to make. I don't know if anything's going to come out of it. There's a lot of impressive names in there and all that stuff. But what actually comes out of it, I'm terrified.
Congress makes the laws in our country.
Supposed to.
This cannot be handled by executive order because it's just going to get reversed because there'll be another administration. If they want to handle this in Washington, Congress needs to, and that's going to take, unfortunately, it's going to take compromise. So everybody on one side and everybody on the other needs to get together and compromise. I don't think anything the president does right now at this moment is going to be endearing to anyone other than John Fetterman on the other side. That's the bottom line. I don't think Robert Kraft and Tiger Woods should have any say in what happens in college sports moving forward either. They're very nice names. I like both of those guys, you know, but I don't know if they can solve college sports, but it's I don't think anything's going to happen, but they will get a lot of coverage, Mike. And maybe it's this, Mike, maybe it just raises awareness a little bit, right? Mm-hmm. Gets it on people's radar a little bit more because there needs to be, we're heading down the path of something's got to give at some point. Unless everybody just gets used to how it is now and keeps on rolling, that's possible too.
I've never seen in my time covering these sports more misery out of college football and college basketball coaches with the way things are being handled right now. Every one of them goes out of their way to tell you it's an absolute blank show. And even the coaches, like, oh, it's just an excuse. And some of these are coaches that are winning. Some of these are coaches that are doing just fine. So they're not excuses. They're just the fact that how we've allowed this to get to this point where you're basically having players with coaches over a barrel 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 12 months out of the year. And you also have a situation where there's clearly a discrepancy in the disposable income for players from one school to the next. We're not dealing with apples to apples in many cases. I've had multiple coaches, and let me just say, no, Lamont Paris is not one of them. I haven't talked to Lamont about NIL. I know enough about South Carolina's NIL situation. I don't need to get any more input from Lamont on that. I'm talking about other SEC coaches that have specifically said to me, I'm not going to hide it anymore. I asked for money for two more players. I was told no by my administration. We are where we are, and that's why. So obviously that is very much omnipresent in football as well. We talk about the other sports, but those are the two revenue sports. And, you know, that's what, you know, Nick Saban, Mac Brown, Urban Meyer, they're going to be at this thing too. I guarantee you they're all on the same page. I've spoken to two of those guys about it, Mac and Saban. They all realize it's a mess, and it's not sustainable to keep going down this road. And one of the guys I've actually worked with is Rodney Terry, the Texas coach who was let go after the end of last year. And he said, you know, at some point, these people that the schools keep going to and saying, hey, we need another million if we're going to get this player. Okay, here's your check. Hey, I know I called you last month, but you kick in an extra 500 grand this time. Okay. At some point, the coaches start to feel uncomfortable that keep going to those people and asking for money. Because what is your return on the investment when you're writing those checks? You get some feel-good vibes when your team wins, but you don't get anything. It's not like investing into business and there's a true chance of making money back. You're not getting a dime. So you're just relying on these people to emotionally give you money and not expect anything financially back in return.
And then what if you go 7-5? Like, I mean, like Ole Miss went, that I think they got a little upset about Lane leaving and just went crazy spending. It's documented out there. That kid they offered $1 million to, that was, he's a nice player. He's not a $1 million player ever.
Right.
I mean, there's probably 10 that play for less. But they were wanting to make a statement, right? What happens if Pete Golding goes 7-5? What happens if the magic was kind of Lane Kiffin's offense out there and, the coordinator's not as good and Chambliss maybe isn't as special and they go 7-5, which can happen in the SEC quickly, mm-hmm. to you. And plus these states are passing laws where you don't have to pay income tax if you're a student athlete. What about the working man?
Yeah.
What about the working man, dang it, in Mississippi and Arkansas? It's out there busting his ass as a carpenter and owns his own business and has to pay double tax because he's self-employed. And then plus you got state income. And it's not as much as, say, New York or California. Mississippi's a pretty low, but it's probably, you're talking maybe, I think it's 2-3%. Mm-hmm. But you're going to take money from him, but you're not going to take it from Trinidad Chambliss, who isn't even from the state of Mississippi and may not even live there when he gets out and goes to the NFL. I mean,
Kirby tried to get that here in Georgia.
And now, Georgia is a significant. Georgia, they're not afraid to tax you in Georgia.
Trust me, I know.
yeah,
I've known it for 15 years. Kirby tried to get Georgia to do the same thing because, in this case, it's not trying to get an advantage, it's trying to keep up with your competition where they're always trying to circumvent this, circumvent that. All right, well, if they're doing it, then I got to do it. Well, Georgia said no. Well, you guys are paying the taxes.
And two big states in the SEC, Texas and Florida, both have none of their citizens pay state income tax either. Correct. If you want to pass a law like that, I'm all for it. Tennessee as well. I'm all for it if you want to do it for everybody. I'm all for it. All right, so I got to ask you two things real quick. First, and this is brief because I know we got to get the drive around the SEC. Phil, we're just going to double up at the top of the hour to get Alex.
It's up to you if you want to do it or not.
I can do an abbreviated version if you want. Planned on it, but I've got two questions for you. Okay. First thing is, have you watched Kentucky play basketball this year?
I have, quite a bit.
Do you get the feeling at times, most of the time, they're disinterested?
I get the feeling, like many coaches this year that I've talked to, he doesn't like his roster. And because of what you just said, because you're not getting maximum out of that. You're just not. So it's $22 million there.
Yeah, if we're to believe Todd Golden and the they spent $22 million on basketball.
Correct.
I watched him play Carolina. Boy, and Carolina just wasn't good enough to win. And Kentucky kind of turned it on at the end. That team just looked like, oh, hey man, let's just go play a little 5-on-5. Come on, man. You know, and what's funny about them is they got killed by Vanderbilt by 35 in Nashville, but then that made them a little mad.
Yeah.
So Vandy comes to Rupp and they win by 14 because they turn it on. Weird.
By the way, Vandy, for those that I'm told, Vandy's in the neighborhood of 10 million NIL. They're not going on the cheap in basketball.
No, I'm not surprised.
You'd be surprised at how many basketball programs in the SEC are around 10 million. That 9 to 11 million is the magic sweet spot number.
Sure.
And then there's some. Arkansas's obviously got more. Kentucky's got more. But that's where it is. That's the thing. You know, you triple the NIL budget. The problem is everybody else did that and then some.
So yeah, that's my second question. If you're South Carolina, because the number's 6.5 there, and they could have gotten 7. They elected not to do it. But that's still, if it ranks last in the SEC, that's fine. But actually, good players, starters in the SEC go for about 1.2 to 1.3. Mm-hmm. Here is my question, and I cannot tell you the player's name nor the amount, but there's a dude not playing very, hasn't played a bunch all year at all. They got out of the, I'll just keep making more than $500,000.
I know you're talking
about. You know, and it goes up from there.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be smarter? And I'm not saying Lamont Paris wasn't smart. I understand the logic, blah, blah, blah. If you have that, to go get three good players, it doesn't take that many in basketball, mm-hmm. and then surround them with role players rather than because look, a lot of these guys on South Carolina's roster, I'm not being ugly here. You could have gone to the Southern Conference and picked them all off, picked guys like this off for $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
90, 80, 50, anything.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's not any difference between most of the guys on this roster and mid to low major schools right now, skill set wise. So could you not do that? Would that not have been smarter is kind of a, again, I'm not trying to be ugly, but maybe a more sound decision? Because what that brings me to is the struggles with South Carolina. People can talk about money, but I think how you deploy your resources matters too.
Outstanding point. And let me say this. This is what I keep going back to, because I knew in November. I saw this roster. I know the other 15.
Oh, you told me. Yeah.
I told you. I told you what was going to happen, right?
I don't think they had lost a game, and Mike told me. And I'm like,
I hope you're wrong.
Yeah.
And I didn't go on this show and do it because I don't want to, you know, there's no need to kind of wet blanket it before the season even starts in conference play. But I just knew it. It wasn't based on coaching. It was based on the roster. Two things can be true at the same time. You can be in a situation where you're bottom of the league in compensation. And obviously that's a thing. That's a factor. You know, I make the analogy of the grocery store. I'm not a great shopper, but if you give me $500 and I go to Publix and get the groceries and versus $75, probably going to do better with the $500. Probably going to cook you a better meal. And I'm not a great cook.
Especially like beef these days, man.
Exactly. But that can be true, and you can have some misses in recruiting and in the portal.
Some.
Both can be true. Both can be true. So, because here's what's going on. If you mention, I know Matt Anderson has started to do this now. I mentioned it a while back, and, you know, it's for some people the knee-jerk reaction is to, defending the coaching staff, and Lamont's gotten to him, and I don't know about the other announcers out there. That's their deal. That ain't the case here. I haven't talked to Lamont about NIL or compensation at all.
I don't have a single person that would ever utter the words "Lamont's gotten to me."
Maybe
Martin or Eddie Fogler. I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Yeah, no.
Those guys are a little bit different personalities.
A little bit different personalities. But, like, nobody's carrying water for anybody. You could be in a situation where you really, if you want to get more competitive in basketball, you need more resources. And you could also, at the same time, feel like you need a coaching change. Those two are not mutually exclusive. You can feel both. I'm not here to tell you you're right or you're wrong. If you feel like the answer is to make a change, I got it. Like, JC, I saw your numbers the other day. The numbers are damning. I mean, there's no doubt about it. You know, the numbers are not good. You can also point out that this is not the Frank Martin era. This is not where you're playing on a little more equal ground. You're just not. So you have to make a decision, no matter who the coach is. Are you going to pony up? Are you going to spend? And a lot of these decisions are more difficult than you think because there's only so much to go around. You've got a women's basketball program that certainly costs a lot of money. You've got you're spending a lot of money on football. I don't think anybody has a complaint about that. You spend money on baseball, you know, I mean, so at some point it's okay. Well, how much is left for men's basketball? And those are the tough decisions that have to be made. But there's a lot of those things all baked into this. And to your point, it's more than fair criticism to say, well, with the money that was given, could it not have been spent in a more effective way? I don't think there's anything wrong with pointing that out.
Yeah, because I think if it was just money, there would have been, the numbers I got for the individual players on other SEC rosters came from like three or four different other athletic departments.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, and here's the thing too about Lamont Paris. And look, I'm not advocating here. I'm just I've decided I'm going to spit facts. He loses at Ole Miss. Is getting better. They've had a nice, you know, Chris Beard is, they're not going anywhere, right? But they're better than they were at the beginning of the year. They've knocked off some teams. I think Carolina's going down on Saturday. Maybe not, but probably. If they lose that game, they're going to have to win the national championship if they don't want to lose 20 games. This will be the third 20-loss season in 4 years. Before that, Mike, how many times has it happened since Carolina's been in the SEC? Well, Fogler did it once in 98-99. You were there for most
of it. Oh, I was there for that. And I mentioned that team at the top of the show. How bad things were in 1999 as a whole.
Before Lou switch, yeah.
Ray and got the morale back up. The 99 was not good in Gamecock land.
The 99 baseball team was just I don't remember why they didn't make the NCAA tournament, because they won the SEC East. And I don't remember the story, their strength of schedule, I guess. Because the field had gone to 64, so you think they were shoo-in.
They were a borderline. I wouldn't say they got robbed. I mean, that's
I don't remember.
They were good, not great. You know, they were still building. They were still building, and then the pitchers that were on that staff, the killer bees, they hadn't turned into great pitchers yet. In 2000, they did.
Well, so that was the first. The next 20 loss year came under Darren Horn in year four.
Yeah,
which is probably that's about the time the arena really started to empty out. By the way, go look at the video from senior night. It's sadder than it's ever been as far as attendance. Mm-hmm. Baseball too. And then Frank had a 20 loss season his second year. That team wasn't very good, but you know, they won two SEC tournament games. They beat Missouri, who they were god awful. And then they beat Arkansas, a good Arkansas team. Mm-hmm. And then played Tennessee. I was in Vegas at the time, and I remember watching the Tennessee game. I was dating a Tennessee fan, and we were out there for work/pleasure. And I remember sitting there at the New York casino watching that game. But that was year two, 2013-2014. Frank grew a beard during that point in time. But, you know, so that was a 20-loss team, but kind of things were looking up, and they ended up turning around. Lamont Paris has set the school record for losses once, and then this will be his second straight 20-loss team. And then there were two at Chattanooga at the beginning. He did get that going. They had a decent year. Then the pandemic year, they were 18-8 when everything shut down. He was 20-12, and then it shut down. The pandemic probably had to win the SoCon. 18-8 the next kind of weird year, 21. And then, you know, obviously had the huge year where they went to the tournament, almost beat Illinois. And he's had the one huge year here too. But my question is, you have 9 years versus of a sample size, and you have 5 20 loss seasons. You have two excellent seasons, and then two at Chattanooga that were kind of during a weird time in our country. You could almost throw them away. I don't know that you bring someone like, let me rephrase. There's an argument to be made to not bring someone with that track record back and hand them double the money.
I certainly think that's a conversation that's being had.
Me too.
I
think it's a conversation. And if he comes back, I'm not against it. There's sometimes, and there probably will be a potential coaching change in another sport really, really soon that mm-hmm. I'll be fired up if they don't.
Yeah.
This one, maybe you stick with him and it turns, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe he is the coach that. But the other issue, and I'm a lot of this is devil's advocate, and I guess I don't know about drive around the SEC now, because this is really good.
No, keep it going. I'm good.
Devil's advocate is his system, like, is a good system. I like it. It requires discipline. It requires, as he calls it, basketball character. Mm-hmm. But you need things. You know, it's like running you can't run the triple. The only time I ever saw the triple option work with a slow quarterback, well, twice, Rodney Williams, when he played at Clemson in the 80s. And the guy he died in a plane crash. He took over for Tommy Frazier. Brooks Bollinger at Nebraska.
Oh, yeah.
Replaced him for a while. He ended up dying in a plane crash, but he he wasn't all that fast, but he ran this. So it's like the triple option. You need certain things. You need a fast quarterback that's got some wheels, right? That's a good decision maker. You need bigs that can shoot. And when you're at the cash register, oh, bigs, Michael, there's a surcharge for those guys. Because guess what those guys are called? NBA players.
Yeah. Do you remember Federico?
Yes.
I won't give you his exact price tag. He comes off the bench. He barely plays for Texas A&M.
Yeah.
But it is a high price tag.
Yeah.
And that's a dude that is not a difference maker. But to your point, the bigs, there's less of them. So they are there. You can be an average big and be a seven-figure player. It's amazing to me.
Oh, yeah. Nick Pringle got a penny, you know, because they are rare. And then if in his thing, you need a guy that can stretch the floor as a big, and that makes the price go up.
Let me say one thing on the scheme. Mm-hmm. I don't think he is absolutely dug in on one particular scheme. You know, even Lamont will point out to you, like, what he did the 2 years ago, what was it, 26 wins? That's not exactly what they ran at Wisconsin.
No, it's not. It's different. It is different.
Yeah. So, I mean, a good coach will adjust to what he has, right?
It's a motion offense. It's based on concepts.
Yes. And, you know, if you remember last year, you have a first-round draft pick that can play the post. So you're not hunting threes on every possession. You're trying to get Murray Boyles the basketball. Well, this year they don't have anything even close to Murray Boyles. You don't have a post player that is a remote threat to any SEC defense. So you have to just launch 33s and hope that it's your night. He told me the other day, he's like, 35% is the number we have to be competitive, and that's really not that high a number. And he's right. There are teams that shoot 39. So I don't even think it's married to a scheme as much as it is you're going to have to find a way to if you're going to be bottom third in actual budget, then you're going to have to be more creative in recruiting. Mm-hmm. And if you're not, then you're going to have to spend more money where you can afford to pay 1.5 to a big that comes off the bench, but he's just big. You're going to have to do one of these two things. This year, neither happened. You have a roster that, I mean, almost resembles an expansion team. It's not one that can go out there. Yeah, it's like the 76 Bucks. It's not one out there that is going to be able to compete night in, night out. You could do everything right. And look, they play hard. It's like I just had LSU at Auburn two nights ago. Matt McMahon, I think, is a hell of a coach. I'll die on that hill. Matt McMahon might get fired here in a few days. Mm-hmm. And there's a couple different reasons for that. But right now, especially, he lost his starting point guard, who was a dude, the transfer from UNLV, DJ Thomas. And he lost Justin Reed, their best big man. Now find me a team in the country that loses their top guard and their top big, and they're not going to struggle. That's what's happened. And on top of that, they did increase their NIL as well, but it's still bottom third in the country, or excuse me, in the conference. So all those things can be true again at the same time, but I think it's going to be less about, let's just say theoretically, and I have no idea. I'll find out when it's time to find out whether Lamont's going to be back. My guess is that decision hasn't been made.
It hasn't.
Yeah.
It hasn't. And it's gone back and forth.
I mean, I know. Something tells me you and I have spoken to some of the same, same people. Yeah,
I mean, it has gone back and forth. And I get it. But I think there's a case to be made either way. Expansion team, you say. Reminded me of the 88 Charlotte Hornets season. And as someone that actually watched that team, thought that was Charlotte's first pro team. So I thought it was kind of neat. Muggsy Bogues.
Kelly Trepuka. Great mustache.
I think they traded for him. Yeah. Or wait a minute. Was he? No, he was on. Yeah, they picked him up late. He wasn't an expansion draft. Del Curry. Who, by the way, Davidson should be thankful that the Hornets took him in the expansion draft. Mm-hmm. Because I don't know that his kids would have been at Davidson, and then the other one, you know, obviously went to Duke. He was with the Cleveland Cavaliers. That guy may have ended up, they may have ended up at Ohio State or you know, Miami of Ohio.
Yeah. Even. Can I say one other thing on?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
By the way, nice bumper music, Phil. I'm down with it. JC Breeze, I'm down with this tune. Yeah.
Yeah.
I caught a little bit of the show the other day at the airport or somewhere. The notion that, okay, this SEC record, well, Frank would have been in the tournament with that record, and Frank would have been the Frank would have been the four tournaments. The SEC is light years better than it was during that time. So to extrapolate that and say they would have had the same record in the modern day SEC, that's pretty ambitious. Frank got the one tournament in 10 years. I love Frank, but the record is what the record is. He got the one in 10 years. Folger got the two in 8 years. Darren Horn never got to a tournament, and I'm not sure if he ever would have. Dave Odom got to one. It's been tough to be consistently good. And I will, it's another hill I'll die on. South Carolina can be good consistently in college basketball, but the right things have to be in order, and they just haven't been.
I think alignment, a commitment, alignment, and resources. Car, let's call it car. I like that. Phil,
car, commitment, not JT's cars.
Alignment, resources, and it's got to come from the top down. And they need to get rid of, you know, they need to just streamline the decision making process and get rid of people that shouldn't have an opinion about basketball, and just go commit to it. That's what other schools in the SEC that were struggling did, you know. And they didn't go chase, a lot of them didn't go chase big names. Some did.
Right.
But, you know, Vanderbilt certainly didn't.
No.
And from James Madison.
You neither know? Did Alabama. They got a dude in Nate Oates.
Buffalo, yeah.
Who came from Buffalo. And I that's another thing I go to. Go to Coleman Coliseum and go to the Auburn Arena and look around and look at the history or lack thereof of those two programs before Nate got the job and before Bruce got the job. There's no reason South Carolina can't be good at basketball. If Auburn and Alabama are, is it going to be Kentucky? No. But, I mean, for crying out tears, Auburn and Alabama have no advantages that over South Carolina when it comes to building a basketball program. Those two coaches made it cool to be there, right? I mean, yeah. They're not great tradition over there. You're on with Wimp and Barry every week. They know how Wimp had a nice run, so I don't want to take away from what Wimp did in the 80s. But
players,
for the most part, yeah, and Wimp be the first one to tell you, we got players. How they got them? They got them how they got them, but they got them, okay?
I ain't going to tell you how we got them, but we got them.
Exactly. Wimp ain't going to lie to you. You know, who knew who Todd Golden was when Florida hired him? San Francisco. Mike White is about to take Georgia to back-to-back NCAA tournaments. What does Georgia have in the history of basketball that South Carolina does not?
That's what gets you is Georgia and Vandy are about to go to their second straight NCAA tournament, and Carolina's setting records for losses.
Yes, and Auburn and Alabama are going to Final Fours. And Ole Miss went to a Sweet 16 last year.
I think they went all the way to the Elite Eight, didn't they? Or no?
Sweet 16.
I've been saying Elite Eight. I'm a fool.
No, you're not. It's an honest mistake. It's going to happen. But the thing is, it's like when you look at those programs and you say, well, what do they have that South Carolina does not have? This is the part that is just so frustrating.
I mean, A&M hired the Samford coach and lost all their players and it worked out.
And they're going to tournament.
And I'm sure there's conversations. Oklahoma and LSU have actually been to multiple Final Fours and have had more success historically.
Yeah.
And they're down there. But, and you know, I get it. Their NIL budgets like this. LSU put together a good enough roster, you know, I think. The
if injury it was healthy. Probably got them.
I think Oklahoma, I watched them play Carolina. Carolina beat them, but they have like three really good players. But they're like everybody. Mm-hmm. They're like a lot of teams. Sometimes they're like, don't think I'm playing today.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Anyway, Mike, you're the man. Appreciate
it. I enjoyed it, man. Appreciate you guys. Love being on with you when we can do the crossover. We'll see you next week. And we'll get a JT's Kia drive around the SEC in early next week. A lot of good stuff there, including we'll start talking some SEC quarterbacks. I'm ready to start talking football. I don't know about you guys. Yeah.
I mean, I know you've been covering basketball for 26 days. You've been out like you've been on walkabout. Mike Morgan went on walkabout to basketball land.
That's right. No, it's, I know it's just talking season, but football talking season is still the best talking season there is. So it's
beautiful.
It's going to be a great off season and hopefully good things to talk about going forward. Gentlemen, have a great rest of the week.
Thanks, amen. Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
All right. Go to D's Wings and we'll be back with Alex Jones. Speaking of food, smorgasbord. We do have a VHS dates. Phil, you got the VHS dates, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
All right. Yeah.
We're good.
We've been saving this.
We have. We've been sitting on this for a couple days now.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Can't wait to talk to Alex. Gamecock Smorgasbord coming up after this.
Hey, this is Cornbread Cowboy, and you're listening to the show. We'll be right back.
Palm Casual Patio Furniture are proud supporters of our Gamecocks. We have been making and supplying the highest quality outdoor furniture you can find for almost 5 decades. If you use your outdoor space to watch the Gamecocks, make it the best it can be. Visit palmcasual.com or visit one of our 4 locations in South Carolina. Go Gamecocks!
Looking for a new car? You need to think about a Kia. If you're in the market for an SUV, consider the new Kia Telluride or the new Kia Sorento. They're big, they're strong, and loaded with tech for thousands less than Honda or Toyota. You'll see the difference right away, and you get double the warranty. Plus, you get the JT's Advantage million-mile warranty and about 1,000 other things you have to see to believe.
If you want the biggest bang for your buck, it's time to think about a new JT's Kia. We're serious about saving you money.
The Aventon Adventure 2 takes the same basic design as the original Aventon Adventure, making it an adventure bike designed to take you places that typical roads just don't reach, allowing you to ride whatever terrain you want based on your whims of the day. Look at what you're getting. Hydraulic disc brakes, torque sensor for responsive pedal assist, great LED lighting, suspension, a beautifully welded frame with excellent build quality, included rear rack, included fenders. The list just keeps going on.
Visit electricbikescharleston.com for more.
Gamecock Traditions is your one-stop shop for all things South Carolina. From apparel to tailgating, children's clothing to kitchenware, jewelry, or even gift cards. If it exists, it exists at Gamecock Traditions. Ship it to your home via gamecocktraditions.com or go see our friends in Lexington. Gamecock Traditions, a family tradition. Go Gamecocks.
Sell your quality sports and fitness equipment to Play It Again Sports and get paid. Recycling your in-demand sports gear keeps it available in your community. Sell, buy, trade, and win with Play It Again
Sports! Jeffrey's got space and a touchdown!
If your golf game needs a little help, McKellar Enterprises is one click away. Meredith Taylor, a former Gamecock golfer, fields clients from all across the country. Golfers of every level are enrolling in her well-rounded golf camps. They're improving their game through virtual and on-course lessons. And now, many are a part of the membership program that gives you multiple monthly coaching options to get better. Are you improving for fun? Don't want to hold the group back any longer? Visit McKellarEnterprises.org today and go Gamecocks.
Test ride at Electric Bikes of Charleston today. Road trip ready. Ride comfortably. Forget road fatigue. The Velotric Fold 1 Plus features our exclusive Comfort Max frame design for an effortless, upright riding posture and a low step through. With an adjustable seat and stem, you'll be feeling great and ready for the next campsite adventure. Your back will thank you. Visit Electric Bikes of Charleston. Electric Bikes, Charleston.com.
New year, better floors. Now is the time.
Refinish your hardwood floors with Recoat Revolution. Beautiful like new floors in just one day. No dust, affordable, and 5 stars. Give us a call in South Carolina, 803-397-1365, or visit us at RecoatRevolution.com. Go Gamecocks!
Welcome to Dry Space Crawl Space Solutions. Basement crawl space encapsulation designed for your specific needs. Your crawl space can be susceptible to all sorts of issues, including moisture buildup, mold growth, and structural damage if not cared for properly. Let our trained experts provide basement crawl space encapsulation solutions to protect your home, improve air quality, and enhance energy efficiency. Schedule your consultation today for a safer, healthier space at dryspacecs.com. Dry Space Crawl Space Solutions, proud supporters of your South Carolina Gamecocks.
Do you like Hot Fudge Sundays? All right.
It's the Gamecock Smorgasbord with Alex Jones.
I have fallen in love at first sight hundreds of times. And that's just in the past 2 years I've been here at the beach. It would mean the world to me. I'm so lonely, but not desperate. My name's Harry. I feel like I want to find a woman to grow old with because I'm growing old. I was brought up with this ideal of coming home and having a woman bring you a tray with some snacks and a cocktail. It would be really nice to feel cared for. And so I guess a woman who's a little old fashioned. Reformed womanizer here, reporting for duty, rather ready to and make you feel like the princess that you are. I have a deal breaker.
Oh God.
I don't like women who cheat. Yeah, I used to go to a summer camp when I was a kid. Summer camps are their own little slice of heaven. And when we're at summer camp, we go skinny dipping. Not everybody, but you get to find out if you like being naked or not. And I like being naked. I have fallen in love at first sight.
Okay. Times. Harry, Alex, had some problems. First and foremost, anybody surprised anybody cheated on him? The woman cheated on him?
Right.
Hey, raise your hand. No. Not surprised. I could have seen that coming. I could have seen that coming if you were in a tiny vehicle meant to transport a single ant. I could see that coming.
This is another one that the star ranking just kept going up as the video kept going on.
It escalated because I had some empathy for him. You know, he's got some problems. The grill.
He said something like he wasn't lonely, but not desperate or something like that at the beginning.
I mean, that grill, my man does go to the dentist. You know, obviously he's got some pearly whites, but boy, it's Garsh Wilbur. You know, I mean, that's just kind of how it looks. And that's gotta be intimidating for some women. The mane, I guess a lot of horse analogies here for old Harry, but I mean, in some ways it's, you know, it's punk rock or hard rock Harry, right? In others, it's just kind of, I don't know, he's got a little Greg Allman in it. I don't know. And then the personality, it's just, when he started talking about cheating and got all misty eyed, I was like,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that guy, he can't let go.
Do some things.
Yeah, you date him, you got him for life. He's like luggage. You carry him around for a long time. And then just went straight. You know, I'm a reformed womanizer. I was like, you probably never have been. You probably acted like it, or maybe you blamed yourself for it, but you really didn't. And if you'd have maybe acted a little more like a womanizer, you'd be more successful in relationships. And then finally, the skinny dipping thing tells me he's just off his rocker, maybe a little pervy, and it's just like, creep out.
Yeah, he went from high 3-star, then that put me into the 4-star territory there.
He's in the top 250, I think.
He made a late jump. Yeah,
made a late jump, late riser, Harry from VHS Dates. So, my goodness alive. Alex, how you been, man?
Been good. It's good to have some football to talk about now. Some actual, like, well, I mean, we saw some stretching and some drills and things like that, but got to see some on-field stuff yesterday, so could be worse.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely love football. Russell says the guy's a Timu Jimmy Buffett.
Yes, that was perfect.
Harrison says dude had a great senior season.
Yeah, he did.
Blake says Jamie Johnson, the country music artist, for those that don't know, became a hippie and moved to the beach. Yeah, it kind of looks like that. All right, so your take on the Randy Clements offensive line drill. I've said all I'm going to say. I think people are the message here for me about that is some people are extremely stupid. Go ahead.
I mean, he said it all he needed to say last night in his tweet when he showed the drill that they were doing, but then showed why they're doing the drill. I mean, he showed, I think it was a North Texas clip where the center, it almost just like kind of starting to climb, but then also finding somebody in that you can see the D tackle where the center had to find him. Like, I think it's just, there's so much angst around the position that it's just something where people will find stuff, anything they can. Like, I was sitting there watching that drill live, and you know, I wasn't filming that drill at the time, but was sitting there watching live. I didn't think anything of it. I just thought it was just one of their typical drills. But I mean, he showed it on Twitter last night, what the clips were. Then he saw Cole Kubelik even comment on it, where something, you know, I mean, kind of, you know, backed it up too. So I mean, I don't think there's any big story there.
Yeah, and LaCharles Bentley and just about everybody else knows something about offensive line. I didn't see a lot of Gamecock fans getting after. Maybe there. I didn't.
No. Look. Yeah.
I didn't look on the message board, but you know, there's that. But I thought, my goodness alive, what in the world? How do you take a 15-second clip, and in the interest of your own relevance, you indict a coach, a program, a group of players, and some of them indicted all of college football for offensive line coaching. Now, if you want to talk about the fact that offensive line coaching in college football and in general leaves a lot to be desired, I'll get on board with that. I do think that it's, there's issues there, but these NFL people that talk about it, they need to look in the mirror. Cause that's why, cause things have trickled down. I think it's too doggone complicated instead of just hitting people in the mouth like you used to. I don't even know that you have to do half the crap that they, you know, everybody gets fired up to do. But anyway, that's that. That's a different subject. On the offensive line, Alex, I, you know, here's what I was told. You were there. See if you agree with this statement. And then after seeing them live, tell me. This offensive line group as a whole this year is not going to pass the eyeball test like last year's group, i.e. big dudes that look like they can play, but they may very well, hopefully, I mean, it's they're up poop creek if they don't. But that doesn't mean they can't play much better. Your thought.
Yeah, I think, you know, that's a good way to put it, just because I think – with what these offensive linemen are going to be asked to do. Like last year, you know, they wanted to do a whole bunch of between the tackle runs where it's just, you know, kind of, you know, run up the middle and things like that, where you have to be, you know, this big offensive lineman. But in this Kendall Briles offense, like these guys are going to have to move. They're going to have to run down the field where there's a 30-yard pass. They're going to have to get 30 yards down the field quick. So they're going to want to snap the ball quick. So I think you are probably going to see a little bit of that just from an eye test standpoint. Now, I will say, you know, looking at Kojo Poku yesterday, he was a guy that I thought passed the eye test. Like, he looks the part and all that. So I think there probably is some truth to that, where from an eyeball test, they may not pass him. I think a lot of that's just going to be from a, you know, they'll be more than fine to be able to hold up there, but it's just because they're going to have to be so much more moving than there was in these previous years.
Did Shed Surratt look to you like he'd slimmed down a little bit?
I thought so. Yeah. I should have mentioned him right there. Like, I thought he did look, he had slimmed down a little bit. And I think now with the opportunity that's at tackle for him, I think that's going to be even more important there.
Hey, you mentioned Poku. That's a guy a lot of people are excited about, all that. Also, you know, now that and again, the coaching staff knew Josiah Thompson one way or the other wasn't going to be playing in 2026. So they recruited as such out of the portal. So it's not like, oh my God, now the portal's closed, you can't go get anybody else. I mean, they were always looking for tackles in the JUCO ranks. People should remember they lost a kid to LSU that they wanted from the JUCO ranks. And they may go if they can find a grad transfer, just because Peaks, you know, you need enough to practice, as Beamer says all the time. I mean, you know, that too. So they'd be in the market for that. But they knew Thompson. So all these guys were recruited to South Carolina by the coaching staff, knowing that Josiah Thompson wasn't playing in 2026. I just want to make that clear. But Dane Arnett, you know, because I didn't know if Thompson would be back or not. I knew he was going to have surgery. I didn't know what kind of time frame we're looking at. So Dane Arnett, I was kind of looking at him as like a swing guy, because when they recruited him, that's what he was. I think now it's a straight tackle. What does he look like to you?
So I didn't – I think yesterday I didn't see, get a good look at him. I was trying to bounce around a little bit. But just – I mean, when you look at the film, that, I think we're on here last week talking about some of the tackle spots. Like I think I mentioned he could be a guy that I saw – just from what you saw in film, that he could be a guy that's at that tackle spot. I think at the very least now he's going to be at the 2 deep. Like it's – you know, Seth Smith's an interesting option there. Dane Arnett's an interesting option there. I know we've talked about some of the guys who – like a Poku or guys like that who could play on the inside or outside, like – and then, you know, it got the Ashton Mazone kid, the JUCO off the lineman that's visiting. I think he's actually in right now. He'll be in this weekend. So I think that could be another option there if things go well there. But I think Arnett's really kind of intriguing guy. Like, we'll talk about him and Nabongwu as kind of those interesting guys to watch. Like, those two are kind of really the intriguing guys just because of the versatility that they bring along with Poku. But I think Arnett could be a guy that, you know, we'll see, you know, from a starting perspective how that happens. But he's going to be an interesting watch to see how it progresses, just from a physical standpoint. But then picking up, you know, jumping from Ferris State to South Carolina is a pretty big jump. But you've seen guys do it at that level. I mean, Ferris State, they put some guys out. I mean, the quarterback at Chambliss, I mean, he at Ole Miss, you saw with the jump he made. Now, obviously, different position on the offensive line, but it's going to be an interesting follow to him.
I wouldn't forget about Damola Ejidihun either.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's 6'6".
I thought he was a physical standout.
He's 6'6", 310, and he would look the part. Collectively, I mean, you know, you think about it. You had Big Tree, Travon Ball's a big old guy, Surratt, Thompson last year. You know, and I wasn't saying that this group doesn't pass the eyeball test. I'm just saying they probably won't do it like last, you know, those big guys that they have. Marquis Anderson's still there, too. Wanted to mention that, but – yeah, Seth Smith, to me, because he's old, getting into the ITG chat box, Blake said he looks and moves like an SEC dude, just a little lean. Yeah, 6'4", 307, but only 3 pounds lighter than Jacarius Peak. Yeah. And average length arms, movement impressed him. Said Smith's got a chance. He's been playing college football for a long time, captain at NAU, think he'll be a factor. And, you know, Alex, they locked in on Smith early. He didn't visit till late. But he was one of the first names that was out there.
Yeah. Yeah, he was pretty early, first few days or so. I think there was some contact there. And then that kind of progressed in those – as probably as that week went on, that progressed, and things happened pretty quickly there. I can't remember what – there was another school that it was involved with him too, but things progressed pretty quickly there. He visited, and it was pretty done. Because they had – you know, the Bryant Williams guy was another guy they were in on. They had Jacarius Peak. And it was kind of those three. Then you throw in Seth Smith, and there's a three that you've seen that they were really kind of targeting there. And back to Ejidihun real quick, like he's one that you saw there was some trust there with him last year with South Carolina, where he was an extra offensive lineman sometimes. They throw him in there. He's one that, like, I think may get forgotten about a little bit, but it could very well be that he's just going to be, it could be, you don't want to lose Josiah Thompson and Jacarius Peak, but, like, he's going to be one to keep an eye on, I think, because I think just from a physical standpoint, I liked what I saw, but I think just being a year two in the program is going to be big for him.
Yeah, and then there's been plenty of examples of guys in their second year. I mean, first year guys, it's less than ideal. Mm-hmm. Second year guys, it's pretty common if you're good to get in there and start. And, you know, left tackle, if he is the left tackle, or maybe he's a right. I think he'd be a left in this setup. But, you know, we'll see kind of what happens there. The Poku can play either spot. I would guess Shed Surratt would remain at right tackle just because he started there last year. But who knows what's going to happen.
And I like Poku on the interior, too. Like, I think he can play tackle, but I think if I had to project where I think he fits best, it'd be interior.
Yeah, I'd say this. I'm just going to sketch this out. You mind if I sketch this out? You know, left tackle, I think for Kent, a safe bet, probably Smith or Ajitahoon. Left guard to me would be Poku, probably backed up by Marquis Anderson. Center, Carter Miller, backed up by Nolan Hay. Throw Boo Boo in there at left guard too. Maybe not Anderson. Ebubake Nagbuwu. Right guard, Hank Purvis. And then right tackle, probably, you know, I mean, you're going with Surratt there, backed up by Arnett. Maybe Poku and Purvis battle it out at right guard.
Mm-hmm.
And Ebubake is the left guard.
I can see that. Yeah.
Because Ebubake, you know, and I'm trying to get my mindset off of previous years because they have very specific body types with this offense they want.
Mm-hmm.
But Kamar Bell was 6'2", 310, just like Ebubake. Frankly, I like Ebubake's film better. And if you look at the Browse history, the left guard's always leaner than the right guard. The right guard's a bigger dude. So that's why I'm thinking Hank Purvis. And if Poku's 320, maybe he's over there too. So I don't know. That's that would be it. That five, you know, depending on how good these guys actually are. One you could go to battle with, I think.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, Hank Purvis was one I wanted to see a little bit because I saw him in person from a transfer media availability standpoint. But wanted to see him yesterday and didn't get to see as much of him as I wanted to. But he's another one that he was an early kind of commitment signee in that transfer portal class. But you know, it's hard to, you know, this Midwestern offensive lineman, like, I think it's really an intriguing kind of add with him, too. Cause I think, you know, depending on how some of those things which shakes out with some of those other guys, like, he could very well be in that starting lineup, too, if things go well.
Yeah, UNLV found him, Wichita, Kansas. Barry Odom got him, and he just got better and better. And he's a two-star guy. Got better, and then got better, and then got better. So maybe – and he's 30 pounds lighter than he was listed at Purdue because he's 360 there. He's just a big old guy, man. He doesn't look like he's got a whole lot of body fat.
Yeah, and, you know, from what we saw at that transfer availability, like, it seems like it's a good, like, 330. When you lose that, you wonder when you lose that much weight. But like, I thought he looked fine for that in that 330 range.
So, photos are one thing. Video is one thing. In person's another. Julian Walker. I'm trying to stop cussing on the show, but damn.
That was my reaction. Like, I'm looking at pictures and video. I'm like, dude,
if you didn't know better, you would not think he's a true freshman.
No. Really? Okay, so in person, that's how you.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, because I mean, he looked that way at Dutch Fork too, but it seems like he's already put some work in from a weight room standpoint. I mean, just because that he was one of the first guys I saw when we walked in yesterday, and it's just like, holy cow! And he's going to have an opportunity with right now in this spring practice, some of the injuries they're dealing with there. At the room, he's going to get some reps. I think that's probably only going to help him for this season. But from a physical standpoint, like, he's seems pretty close, if not already ready to go.
Yeah, there's only four edge players that weren't listed as limited by Beamer, and all of them can use reps. Drew Collins is one. Anthony Addison obviously is a guy who used reps. Julian, and then Caleb Herring is the other one. So two transfer portal guys, a guy that redshirted and a true freshman. Give them all the reps, you know. One time when I was in college working somewhere, one of the unfortunate homeless people in Columbia came in and kind of was militant about having my boss give him some food. And we had this tuna that we kept. We didn't sell much tuna, so we kind of kept it. I was very skeptical of the tuna. And my boss was like, oh, yes, we'll give you a sandwich. You want a tuna fish sandwich? And I got this green tuna. I was like, it had clearly not, you know. So I put it out. And my boss was like, no. Give him all the tuna. And so I packed this, like, I just packed a sub roll full of tuna and handed it to him. And he left, quit complaining. The long story short there, Alex, is he give him all the tuna. Give him all the reps. Give him all the reps.
He was impressive, but I thought some of those Noah Clark was one that I saw yesterday. I think his kind of, we've talked about some of the transformation he's had to make. I think
Noah Clark, huh? I just want to be clear. Go ahead. Yeah. You're going to get me excited.
Yeah, I think he's started that kind of transformation process. We've talked about that. I thought he was one from a physical standpoint that stood out. Saw a little bit of Aiden Harris. I think he is starting to look the part. There's still some work there from a physical standpoint, along with Clark. But those two guys, we've talked about it. Like they're going to be interesting to watch too, because I think they can give them something in that rotation this year. That's in that defense attacker rotation. That's going to be pretty old with Toby Wye and Pikes and those guys, Kelby Collins and those guys. But I think they can give them something this year, or at least be solid rotation pieces.
Yeah, I actually heard Aiden Harris looked really good. They were pleased with him, and he was one that was mentioned to me along with Walker. And I didn't see any pictures of Aiden, but Noah Clark reshaping is good news. They don't really have anybody like him.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's interesting. Anything stand out to you with the tempo of practice with Kendall Briles there and things like that?
I didn't think there was much there to kind of glean from that, just because they were doing so much. Like, they started inside from a stretch standpoint and then ran outside to do some things like that. So I did see some routes on there and things like that, but it was mainly just kind of some drill work. Didn't get to see any like team type of stuff, but it seemed like from a tempo standpoint, they pretty consistently are running around out there, and I didn't see much change there from that standpoint.
Right. Okay. So switching gears. All right. Well, no, before we switch gears, anything else from spring practice you'd like to add?
I thought Isaiah Augustov was somebody from a physical standpoint that really caught my attention. I forgot that he had changed his number to 4, and it was sitting there watching some of the running backs do some drills and was just watching, like, who's number 4? And I had to look, and I was like, oh, it's Augustov. And I thought he's taking a step from a physical standpoint. Like, he was, of all the guys who I could list as like big eye catchers from a physical standpoint, he's actually would be up there for me. Like, Joey Walker is obviously probably number 1 in that list, but he was up there too.
Oh, Isaiah, the redshirted guy. That would be good. I heard some good things about him in preseason last year.
Yeah.
He did redshirt last season. It's going to be interesting to see the running back rotation. My guess is it may not be anything that we think. Like, a lot of folks in the chat box are Jawaan Howell guys. Some are Matt Fuller guys. I'm a Jawaan Howell guy. Jawaan Howell may be 5th team, but I can guarantee it'll make more sense than last year.
Yeah.
I would be shocked.
Last year, there were so many questions with rotation. And Matt Fuller has a 70-whatever-yard touchdown run that doesn't get back in the game until the fourth quarter. Like, I imagine with Stan Drain, that will be much better this year.
The offense was just a disaster just from that standpoint last year. I'll say this, too. I have more questions about the running back rotation last year than I do about equestrian, and I have a lot of questions about equestrian. Okay, so that's good. Isaiah, well, that's good. That's a good little nugget. Thank you, Alex. Okay, so have you been to the basketball arena or baseball arena in the last – did you go to the Tennessee
game? I was there. I was at basketball Saturday. Or no, what day was that? Whatever, the Tennessee game, whatever.
Tuesday.
Right. Yeah, Tuesday. Yeah.
So how many people were there?
It was a very light crowd, is the way I put it. Like, I was wondering what it'd be, because I think for senior day, I thought maybe some people show up for Michi Johnson just because what he's done for the program, but it ended up being a very, very light crowd.
Were there more Tennessee fans there?
I wouldn't maybe say there were more Tennessee fans, but you could definitely feel that Tennessee was there. Like, it was. I thought Tennessee would have more fans there, to be honest. But I think Kentucky probably had more fans there. But it was still Tennessee brought a good crowd for that.
Well, Kentucky travels. There's a lot of Tennessee fans that live in the state too. So yeah, they try to go, and I'm sure tickets were not bank breaking for the game. I just saw, like, it looked, I mean, there's bigger crowds at this. There'll be bigger crowds at the state championship high school this week. Mm-hmm. Much bigger. Baseball is not drawing a crowd either, but what do you see happening? I mean, you don't have to give us your prediction as to fired or not. I've been spitting. I've decided, without giving a big take on it, that I'm just going to spit facts. And I'm going to sit there and argue both sides. because I can make a, I think I have a stronger argument towards making a change, but that's, I'm not advocating for anything.
Right.
I think at the very least, you know, like I mentioned to Mike, I call it the car. Commitment, alignment, and resources. That's what's missing for men's basketball at South Carolina. All that's been lacking. So that needs to change regardless, and hopefully it will. But your thoughts about what you could see happening, knowing the numbers, knowing it's ugly, South Carolina don't, maybe have possibly, probably will lose 20 games for the third time in 4 years. Before that, in the SEC, they'd only done it three other times. So this program has been down. It's never been this down.
Yeah.
The number, the cold, hard facts do not lie. Your thoughts?
I mean, first you talk about the crowd. I mean, how much is that going to play a part in this decision? Because, it was just not good. And you have to imagine, all right, so there's two games left for South Carolina. I mean, you guaranteed two games left. And, I mean, you're probably going to be playing a non-seed or something like that in that 16-seed game. So two games left. You know, how much does, you know, the crowd factor and all that play into this decision? I think it's got to be some because, I mean, you know, basketball is a moneymaker. It's one of the two sports that makes money at the university. So, like, you know, how much is that going to play a part? You know, like I think it's got to play some part. And just because when, you know, let's say Lamont Paris does come back for next season, where is that crowd? Is it going to be better next year? Like, it's going to have to be a case where if Lamont Paris is back, you're going to have to win early in the non-conference, like, just to try to get the fans in the arena. Because we've seen, I mean, you saw it 2 years ago, like, you know, when the men's basketball team's winning, you can fill that arena up. I mean, the Tennessee game 2 years ago, that was a full arena. Florida, I mean, you can go back to all those types of games. Like, it was a full arena. Like, I think it's got to play some part in it. And then, you know, from an NIL standpoint, like, you know, what's the number that you're going to have to get to, you know, be competitive in this SEC right now? And then I think, you know, just from an evaluation standpoint too, like, there's just been some, you know, transfer portal misses from an evaluation standpoint. This is all I'm talking about if Lamont Paris is bad. Like, how does that change? Because it's just got to be better because they've missed on, you know, in the post, they've missed on some guys. Like, it's just got to be better even with if there is more money coming from an NIL standpoint, which either way, I do expect there to be, you know, a better NIL standpoint. But, you know, you still got to be able to evaluate and do better there.
My question, I think the college basketball schedule, which I despise, hurts too, because let's say if he's back and you do have a good team and you actually kind of like two years ago when, you know, nobody thought they were going to have a good team. They're just kind of hoping for 500 and they were really good. Even if you do that, because of the recent history and because I don't think they're going to end up scheduling a bunch of, you know, marquee games in November.
It's right? Kind of been his philosophy. And he's talked about that from the moment he got here.
Yeah. You know, so the crowds are going to be that, you can kind of expect that kind of crowd. It's hard enough in basketball everywhere that cares about football to draw a crowd in November, which is why I don't understand why they play 10 games in that month and very little in December. And so you're talking January, and then you're talking the SEC loves to give Carolina home games before the students get back. And so I think you're looking at, you know, almost 10 months. And I know they don't play basketball all 10 months, but you're looking at 10 months until you can kind of see the crowd, the fans come back.
I mean, I think there's going to be, and rightfully so from a fan base perspective, like a lot of just a show me type of thing where you're going to have to win some games to get that arena back to where it's, you know, 3/4 full and things like that.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. All right, Alex, I know you got to get out of here, bud. It's been a great smorgasbord yet again.
Always is.
Yes, it is. All right. Alex Jones from thebigspur.com. We thank you. We'll see you next Thursday.
Appreciate y'all. See y'all next week.
Yeah, man. All
right. My man, Alex.
Alex Jones.
Alex Jones.
With the Gamecocks.
Big Spur. Smorgasbord. Blake says, shout out to the Landrum Cardinals, yeah. Lady Cardinals, for making the state championship in basketball. Yeah, go Landrum.
And no doubt.
Harrison says, I think by November, potentially earlier, Julian Walker will be a household name, at least locally. That's a bold prediction. Yeah, after seeing him, I'm not as worried about him adding weight and bulk.
Yeah, it was impressive. I'm flipping through pictures and watching videos, and I'm like, wow, okay, well, That looks like an edge rusher. Not a freshman edge rusher. That just looks like an edge rusher.
Yeah, Ben says, points out accurately, scheduling conference games over winter break is a national problem. I think all of college basketball scheduling is a national problem.
Right, yeah, right.
But you're right, absolutely right. Ryan Odom complained about it. Virginia played at Virginia Tech over winter break, and now Virginia Tech will play Virginia over spring break. Bad for both fan bases, atmospheres. Yeah, basketball gets the shaft. And I think it's yet another example, Phil, of like the people that run college athletics, they want it all, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Remember New Jack City? The world is mine, right?
It's mine.
That's what these people's mindsets are. So, okay, we understand there's exams. Everybody's always taking a break for exams. But guess what? Basketball played in Christmas tournaments and played in between the week between Christmas and New Year's.
I don't
see basketball played right on up. You know, they didn't take 8 days off and they didn't play 10 games in November. You know, basketball season started Thanksgiving, maybe a little bit before. I think the earliest Carolina started 1 year, they played, it was that 8-21 Fogler team. They played Indiana at the Hoosier Dome, the RCA Dome, on November 15th. That was a super early start. You know, you have some marquee games to do that. Again, there's some campuses that are into it, but not the majority. And I mean, I just think that I don't get it. I'm like, you do basketball no favors with the way you schedule. And the super conference thing where they want to play 20 conference games. I mean, really, what you're making it into is nobody cares till January. And then a lot of times people don't even really start caring until mid-January. And if your team sucks, they're going to check out, you know, and just send me my bracket. And
that's right.
Let's get into bracketology whenever that happens. And then, so really you're turning college basketball into like a 1 month sport where you really the attention's on it. And it used to not be that way.
No. And I don't know. I was reading an article where Danny Hurley is saying get rid of the 20 games in the Big East. You know, give them two extra opportunities to go play, you know, big neutral site moneymakers so that they can continue to keep up with NIL revenue, which I think makes sense for the Big East because I doubt their media rights, even for basketball, are comparable to that of, you know, any of the power conferences, the traditional power four.
Yeah, I think the Big East is down this year. I think Danny Hurley's just bitching like he normally does.
Well, he does have a tendency to do that. I'll give you that.
But I get it. I mean, the Big East some years is deep and good.
Yeah.
I mean, and they're actually – well, here was the thought process, though, that their money, if everybody abided by rev share, their money would be greater, right?
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't happened. Because you have schools that have no interest in even signing on to the deal. The CSC has been like, okay, I hoped it would work out. I thought there was an avenue where legally that would get shut down. I was thinking by an agent or an ambitious lawyer through the courts of law. The schools themselves have screwed it. I mean, I never dreamed it would be an unmitigated disaster. Whatever they're paying Deloitte is too much because this is a disaster.
It is.
This has been, nobody's following any rules and it's awful. Ben says many Big East have fallen off of men's and women's. The last couple of years have been terrible. Yeah. Hopefully they rebound. I mean, they care about basketball there. You know, and those are all basketball schools.
Hopefully. Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, my whole thought process was the smaller conferences, the Big East specifically, when it comes to basketball, it would be not only the most competitive, but would start getting, you know, 10 to 14 teams in every year, you know.
I mean, the Big East the Big East is a power conference. It's the four play. But you know, everybody's just screwed this up in chasing money.
Many.
For some reason,
everybody feels like they have to have a piece of this mini.
That's insane, man. Yeah. All right, Phil.
Oh, we need to
take a break.
Last break here.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to have a weird cartoon for you on the other side. You're not getting out of that today.
No. That's right. We had to watch it. So you have to.
It's in that category. But anyway, shout out Gamecock Traditions, GamecockTraditions.com. Don't forget the Nike stuff's coming. You can hear it off in the distance. Nike. It'll be here in July. Be sure you're signed up for their newsletter and signed up for their social media. I guess you don't sign up for that. You just kind of follow. But they're really good, proud partners of the show and the morning show, Chiefs Sports, all that we do here. Don't forget, InsideTheGamecocks.com. InsideTheGamecocks.com. Go there. Information on our new website we're going to be launching in the coming months. You can sign up for the newsletter. Had a good one today. Had some things about Coach Holtz. Little baseball, little inside nuggets on football and Lamont Paris. So please go check that out, InsideTheGamecocks.com. Quick and easy, free sign up for you. Also, don't forget, if you listen to us on podcast, be sure to go rate us 5 stars on the Apple Podcast platform. We're on Spotify. There's no way to rate us, but thanks for adding us to your playlist. We certainly appreciate that. You can also get the Late Night Gamecock Show 4-Quarter Friday and SEC Sunday Night on podcast form on Apple and Spotify. Please go subscribe to those and rate them 5 stars. Don't forget 4-Quarter Friday. 4-Quarter. I'm just messing up crazy today, Phil.
Yeah, it's all
right. 4-Quarter Friday tomorrow morning. I think we're still having a JC and Morgan tomorrow morning, aren't we?
I believe so.
Yeah, I think, yeah, 9:15, I just got a text from Mike about it. 9:15, if I'm in traffic, because I'm actually coming back from taking my wife somewhere in the morning. But 9:15, Mike and I will be along. And then it'll be just Mad Dog and I and Matt Anderson.
Yeah.
I guess we're going to do 3 hours on the show.
Are we doing 3 or 2?
I don't know. We're not doing 4 like somebody said in the chat box.
No, it's not going to be the 3 of us on here.
Heavens no.
I can promise you that.
Heavens no. But be sure to check us out there tomorrow here on Chief Sports Network. We'll be back to wrap it up on the show on a smorgasbord and morgues. Morgues and smorgasbord.
Yeah.
Morgues and board. Sounds Scandinavian. Morgues and smorgasbord. Back after this on the show.
It's time to bring the gym to you. Do it your way, on your time, in your home. We all have busy lives. Kids, work, and anything else that can interrupt our daily routine. Maybe it's free weights or a treadmill. Maybe it's a rower or a home gym. Visit Charleston Fitness Equipment and start taking care of you. Do it your way. CharlestonFitnessEquipment.com. Go Gamecocks. Palm Casual Patio Furniture are proud supporters of our Gamecocks. We have been making and supplying the highest quality outdoor furniture you can find for almost 5 decades. If you use your outdoor space to watch the Gamecocks, make it the best it can be. Visit palmcasual.com or visit one of our 4 locations in South Carolina. Go Gamecocks!
Looking for a new car? You need to think about a Kia. If you're in the market for an SUV, consider the new Kia Telluride or the new Kia Sorento. They're big, they're strong, and loaded with tech for thousands less than Honda or Toyota. You'll see the difference right away, and you get double the warranty. Plus, you get the JT's Advantage million mile warranty and about 1,000 other things you have to see to believe.
If you want the biggest bang for your buck, it's time to think about a new JT's Kia. We're serious about saving you money.
Today and every day, we celebrate our great state of South Carolina. This week, our hometown highlight takes us to Clarendon County and amazing Manning, South Carolina, the home of the annual Striped Bass Festival at Courthouse Square. We love you, Manning.
Hey, Manning, this is Mason West from the West Law Firm. We love helping our friends in Clarendon County, just like we do across the whole state of South Carolina. If you've been injured in a car wreck or hurt on the job, give us a call at West Law Firm, 843-897-7525.
coworker is an ogre, do not panic. Simply follow these three steps. First, test their patience with a simple hello. If they respond with a heavy sigh, move on to step two. Check their browser history on their lunch break. If you find searches like discount smashing sticks or budget boulders for throwing, your suspicions are confirmed. Finally, gather a group of concerned villagers, follow your ogre colleague to their bog swamp after work, and capture them with a giant net. If you suspect your co-
Sage advice.
That's right.
We've all worked with some ogres, right?
Follow them out to their bog swamp.
The bog swamp. Yeah. Bog swamp. Anyway. All right, back to that. TG McKellar Enterprises chat box. Ben has, first of all, some news from the NFL. I know we had a lot of Panthers fans in our audience. DJ Moore, former Panthers receiver, he's on his way to Buffalo now. Traded by the Bears. Second and fifth round pick. I know the Bears really like Luther Burden.
Right. Yeah. I was going to say, yes, high stock in Luther
Burden. I still think part of their success this year is they did have, because guys got hurt, but they had some, they had some depth there. So I don't know. Zacchaeus, I don't know who's going to be there. The guy, they're trying to clear cap space. But Ben says Nate Oates just lockered Tom Izzo. Five-star Jackson Richardson, son of Spartan legend Jason Richardson, chose Bama over Michigan State, Southern Cal, North Carolina. Well, he has a fun and exciting brand of basketball.
That's right.
And Alabama spends in NIL money, but you'd be surprised. They're not – football, at least, they're not really high. Baseball, they're not high. Basketball, maybe they chip in a little more. But maybe that was part of the deal when – North Carolina job has not opened. Hubert Davis is still there, but I don't know. North Carolina could open and come after him. They keep signing contract extensions. Bryce says Julian Walker, he's got a hot take here, will be opposite Dylan Stewart as a true freshman, or at least in the two deep, is my bold prediction. Been watching him for a while, and that guy's just like Dylan Stewart with his bend. I'd be happier than a pig in slop if that happened.
If that works out like that, Carolina.
Works out like that, it's all good. It's all good. Krager adds, Walker's going to be a freaking problem. May end up being Beamer's best flip so far. I don't know who would the best flip be.
Gosh, a true flip scenario there.
I've had several.
Yeah.
It may end up, wouldn't it be crazy if Demola Ajitahun is good and starts at left tackle, at least until Pete gets back, and then Walker starts and is really good. Those are two flips.
Yeah. Lenore Seller. Yeah, the obvious answer.
Harrison always has the answer, right? Yeah, we missed the obvious one there, Lenore. Blake says send the ogre thing to our local congressman or woman. Ben says thank God Sharon Moore is a terrible human being. Man, yeah, his little assistant got fired or left Michigan. So, as in all cases, it takes two to tango.
That's true.
I'm not absolving her of the blame and all that, but Ben says I've heard UNC people like Byington.
Yeah, maybe I bet
Byington. Everybody likes that guy.
Who's the Miami coach?
Jay Lucas, is that it? Is it? Okay. Lucas's kid. I think that's it. He's a big recruiter guy, Yeah, Jay Lucas. So big recruiter guy, and
wonder how much he's costing.
Yeah, they're good. Miami's been good, but yeah, he's good. Like I was talking to Matt the other day, and he said, if you go because assistants are just like something that, in basketball, I'm not totally, privy to. Yeah. I would love for this to happen. And I'll tell you why. His dad lives in Charleston.
Uh-oh.
Luke Murray, the UConn head assistant coach, his dad is Bill Murray. The Bill Murray.
That would be awesome.
He's worked for Danny Hurley. He worked at Louisville with Chris Mack, Xavier with Chris Mack. Been an assistant, worked his way up. But yeah, I'd love for that to be the case. I think that it's that would be just for me, because I love Bill. I love his dad.
Yeah, I mean,
probably come to the games, right?
Yeah, I bet that would put butts in seats. Even the potential of that would probably sell a few tickets.
Yeah, no doubt. Exactly. Yeah, I'd go if I were there. TD says, how much does Mike Tyler play this year? I think the kid has a high ceiling. He flipped from LSU. I think he's probably going to be in the mix. You know, Maurice Brown will be in the mix, and Brady Hunt. Brady Hunt's intriguing to me as far as his usage in this, because he's got like a lot of tools. It's just like a lot of guys on the team needs to be more consistent. I mean, he's capable, you know, but a lot of that with the tight ends depends on what exactly Browse is going to do with them too. Mm-hmm. I mean, Baylor had a 400-pound tight end one time. And they just sat out there and got in the way, blocked, and then they threw him a pass every now and then. So, I mean, it could be – I think Jatavius Shivers maybe missed his calling. He could, and he wasn't 400 pounds, but, you know, they lined him up as an extra offensive lineman sometimes.
That's true. So, and they used what Ajitahun was used in late in the season, like a couple of sets last year. So, I don't know. Can he catch?
I would imagine. I guess.
Does Noah Gray have hands?
Noah Clark
have hands. Yeah.
So Justin Gainey is another guy that Ben mentioned. He played point guard at NC State. Worked his way up. He's the assistant head coach for Rick Barnes at Tennessee. Yeah, I can see that too. The assistant route, you know, Mike Boynton's name is going to come up. He's at Michigan, may win the whole thing this year. So that'll be it. Harris says Florida has a 318-pound tight end that's a true freshman this year. Yeah, it should be interesting to see. Because they had a 400-pound D tackle a couple of years ago.
Yeah, they did.
Whew. How do you get that big in the Florida heat?
I mean, this guy must have been he found the last open Ponderosa is what he did.
It's the sizzler.
That's right.
Man, Ponderosa was some good eating. Every day around this time, I start to miss the $3.99 Pizza Hut buffet too.
Yeah.
And like, you know, not just because of the salad bar was so good.
Oh, yeah. So, I'd tear up a buffet, but I don't do Golden Corral. So
no, I can't do that. Breakfast sometimes.
Yeah, that's
the in-laws like it. So I try to get, hey, let's go early, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Get there but, at the crossover.
TD says there's still a Ponderosa in Dirty Myrtle.
Is it really?
I was not aware of that. I need to get back down to the beach, man. Ooh. Anyway, let's get out of here, Percy. Thank you all for listening. Don't forget, tomorrow you get us for multiple hours. As soon as we get off of JC and Morgan, we're going to transition into the show. I don't know when that will be.
We promise we will hang around for as long as it takes to play all the breaks.
Hang around. But we start JC and Morgan at 9:15, so I'm pretty sure we're not going to be done by the normal 10 o'clock. Phil and I will settle on a start time.
Yeah.
And probably around 10:30, maybe go to 12:30, something like that.
I was thinking maybe 11 to 1, but
11 to 1 is fine with yours truly as well.
Let's plan on that. That'll give everybody time to use the bathroom in between shows.
It is settled.
Yes.
11 to 1 tomorrow. The show with JC, Phil, and Matt Anderson. Hey, can you text Matt and make sure he knows?
Yes.
Because he's got to come on an hour early.
That's true. I thought he was going to be on here today, but that. Not here, but, you know.
The morning show. Jamie had a full house.
Yeah, I think that's why he kind of backed out.
Yeah. We didn't talk about Lou Holtz because I talked about Lou Holtz earlier.
Obviously, transitional figure in Carolina sports.
Yeah.
Good man.
Go check out Coffee. I spent 15 minutes on it today. But certainly, thoughts and prayers to his wonderful family. And a guy that meant a lot to get things going at the University of South Carolina. It's probably why we are complaining and horrified by some of the results around here. Because when he got that going, it kind of raised some standards.
That's it. It did.
Started the climb to raising standards. So, nothing wrong with standards, folks.
No.
Anyway, TD. Oh, TD also says there's a Pizza Hut buffet, not a Ponderosa.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Okay. Well, that's delicious. Ben mentioned Ruby Tuesdays. Ben's got good stuff. All right. So that's it. I'm out of things to say.
That's right.
Yeah, for the Mad Dog, Phil Mullinax, JC Sherbert, this has been Inside the Game Guys Show. Thanks to the Morgs for jumping on. Thanks to the Smorgasborder himself, Alex Jones. We'll see you tomorrow.